This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wednesday edition of VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz coming to you here as we get close to the Cal and Hawaii kickoff as we sit right this very second. Let's take a look here and see where this thing is. We are back to one here at Circa, up to two over at Fanatics, 1.5 nearly everywhere else. 51.5 is our total, and we will find out what's going on over at DraftKings as we go behind the counter.
Where are the lines changing, and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Matt Grill. Matt, how you doing, buddy? And only one thing going in the sports world today. Is this like the greatest day of the year for you? I mean, this is what a break you get.
Hey, guys, Merry Christmas. Yep, annual tradition. We've got the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. And like you mentioned, the only thing going today. So there's going to be a lot of eyes in this game. And we've seen great handle on this game today. Been a preference toward Hawaii. The bettors liking the Rainbow Warriors today. So as a book, we're going to need Cal. Personally, I kind of like that side as well, the Golden Bears. It's good to see a bowl game where we've actually got two of the normal starting QBs starting the game, as we have Michael Alejado for Hawaii, and then, of course, Zaga Pelletelli for, the otherwise known as JKS for Cal. So it should be a good game. You know, total sitting at 51.5 here, so sure, everyone's rooting for some points. We are not, but just looking forward to watching some football tonight.
Turning our attention forward to the playoff matchups, I see Oregon has ticked up now a full point to -2.5. Someone hit Miami a little bit early. Is there a side or total you're looking at with the most movement so far?
Yeah, guys, these games have been pretty static for the most part. We opened up Ohio State 9.5 and 42.5. Games are still there. Like you said, we've hit 10 on this game a couple days ago. So a little bit back in Miami. They've been kind of a popular side thus far. I think we'll see a lot more Ohio State as we get closer to the game. And then at the Oregon-Texas Tech game, I think that's easily the best game of these quarterfinals. Really, I think a toss-up matchup. We're up to 2.5 on Oregon now. I'm not really in agreement with this move, guys. I like the Texas Tech side. I know Oregon's been real dynamic all year. So is Texas Tech. You know, aside from the game they lost, they've won every single game this year by 20-plus points. So I think the Texas Tech Red Raiders are really dangerous here. And, of course, the winner of this game is going to get the winner of that Alabama-Indiana game in the Rose Bowl. So, lots of intriguing matchups here with down to these eight teams. And, of course, don't forget the rematch with Georgia and Ole Miss, a game that Ole Miss controlled for the majority of that game in Athens, middle of the year. Of course, Georgia came back to win that game by eight and cover just barely the 7.5-point spread. So we're seeing a similar line here at 6.5. And if you can grab 7 out there, kind of prefer that Ole Miss side as well in this one.
Talking to Matt Grill, DraftKings trading manager over there, a little bit more college football before we head over into the NFL. And Matt, is there a team in the playoffs that you guys are really rooting against, or is everything kind of okay because you get Clemson go down, Texas go down, Penn State go down, all those teams don't even get there to begin with. Is this going to turn out okay for you guys no matter what?
Yeah, I think so, guys, for the most part. We had really good positions with Oregon and A&M going to the playoffs, so still sitting there with Oregon. Our one landmine so far right now is, those aforementioned Texas Tech Red Raiders. We built up a pretty good position on them during the course of the season just because they, kind of showed their pedigree early on. There's going to be a CFP championship potentially winning team. The other one we've got to avoid, the Miami Hurricanes, of course, just their popularity from getting in. Yeah, they were pretty long odds a couple of weeks leading up to the playoff before they got in and surpassed Notre Dame. So we had some people, getting them at 100, 150, maybe even 200-1. So we built up a little bit on them, and they've been kind of a popular selection here, like I mentioned, going into this game against Ohio State.
There's going to be a parlay tomorrow of all three favorites in the National Football League. Everyone's going to do it. They're going to bet the Cowboys, they're going to bet the Lions, and they're going to bet the Denver Broncos. Which of the underdogs is the one who makes you guys money tomorrow?
All of them, guys. If you look at this, this is three road favorites in the NFL of a touchdown or more. That usually does not bode well for the public. You know, they like laying the points. You know, I think personally it's tough to lay over seven on the road in the NFL, no matter how bad the other team is. You know, of course, the Chiefs are down. A lot of personnel here, Patrick Mahomes, of course, and his QB. So that thing's ballooned up to almost 14. We're sitting at 13.5 right now. You know, I think the Vikings, you know, this team has won, I believe it's three in a row. They're catching 7.5 from the Lions. The Lions are going to be desperate here. And I know they're battling some injuries as well, but I look for the Vikings tomorrow to be the team that keeps it close, I think.
Matt, is there a just the natural progression of the day? Will the late game probably get the most handle in this, or do we think that it could be the Cowboys just because it's the Cowboys, or the Lions because they're still fighting for the playoffs, whatever it might be? Is it it's always going to be the latest one because by then everyone's had a, you know, a couple road sodas and feeling pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys early on, you know, obviously the Cowboys always take good money on their games no matter who they're playing. But I think you're right, guys. That Broncos-Chiefs game, after everyone's kind of finished up dinner and opening the presents and spending time with the kids, they're going to be sitting back watching this one, even though, of course, doesn't have the appeal it did a couple weeks ago. But everyone's going to have eyes on the Broncos-Chiefs, along with some NBA, of course, all throughout the day on Christmas.
We saw the Steelers open up, I believe, 4.5-point favorites. It moved down to 3 now. There's no new, I mean, DK Metcalf, I don't think moves a line of 1.5. Maybe that's what this was. How do you explain this movement? Is it as simple as the Ravens might lose on Saturday and Pittsburgh has a division? That's like, they're not going to play hard in this game. I don't know why this number moves so much. There's not really a lot of news on either side that I think would move it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point with the Ravens playing on Saturday is going to kind of determine their fate. So that's baked into this number a little bit. So after the Ravens play, and they win or lose, that could move this line with the Steelers and Browns. You know, we're sitting at 3-15 right now. You know, the Browns last week, they kept it close against the Bills for a while, had a chance to win that game. So they haven't looked too bad. And of course, the Steelers with a really strong win last week going into the Lions and taking care of them. But they're primed for position here to make the playoffs. And I'm sure that the Roger Goodell in NFL is going to want to see Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs here in what could potentially be his swan song.
If we're looking back over into college football here, and outside of the actual playoff games themselves, is there any game that's been just catching a ton of action from the bettors that really they want to get involved in? I mean, I guess I'm gravitating towards, you know, Michigan and Texas because you just get two name brand teams right there going at it and whatnot. But maybe it's something else.
Yeah, for my money, guys, I think that the outside the CFP games and that Texas-Michigan game, of course, you know, we're going to see probably a bit of a skeleton kind of roster for Michigan. But, you know, Tennessee-Illinois and Iowa-Vanderbilt, those are the two I'm probably looking forward to the most. Those are two good matchups. And of course, Diego Pavia, after making all the comments after they're not getting the Heisman, is going to go out there and ball out again. But I like Iowa in this game, guys, catching that many points myself. And then, you know, Tennessee, Illinois has been a big mover. We opened up 6.5 on Tennessee. That's down to 2.5. Of course, Illinois took out, Alabama. Who did they play last year? South Carolina. That's who it was. They took out South Carolina last year in the bowl. You know, so Bielema likes to win these things. So that's a good one. Then, you know, USC, TCU, that night of the 30th as well. Another, going to be another fun one there in the Alamo Bowl.
We saw last night a bunch of steam moves in all three bowl games, and they went 0-5. None of them covered. Have you noticed that so far in bowl season that the steam ends up not ending up with a cover if you're on that steam side?
I just think, guys, you know, it's really interesting because the bowls now, you're dealing more with information and who's playing these games and maybe a little bit of motivation. So I think people are just kind of making their best guess as to what team this really favors, and sometimes they're wrong, and sometimes we're wrong. So, you know, it's really interesting to watch these moves and where they're going, and you're right, they have not always been right. We've had some huge, huge movers so far since some of these openers with, you know, a team like UConn. We opened them favorite. Now they're, I believe, about a 9-point dog to Army just because, you know, who's left playing for UConn? So, you know, that's one obviously probably can't play now, but if you got you're following that information early, you could have a really nice position right now. So these game day moves, though, in terms of these teams on the day of, you know, it's kind of a tougher to assess. You look at Louisville, like you just mentioned yesterday, that ended up closing up around 11.5, 12. You know, that looked like the right side for a long time before it wasn't. You know, Toledo ended up losing that game by 5, covered all the numbers. So just interesting to keep track of this during bowl season. Make sure you do know who's playing and just get the best info you can, making bets on these games.
Matt, we've only got about a minute, but I'm glad that you brought something up. And just, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now that are a little curious about that. Has making the lines for the majority of these games, obviously the playoffs is a different situation, but for the majority of these bowl games, has it become a much more difficult task because you not only have to like just weigh the teams, but like who might decide in the next few days that they're not going to play, coaches get fired, coaches move on, coaches take other jobs, all of that. Has this become like a very, very difficult task?
Yeah, guys, it's an interesting exercise now because these are kind of just an afterthought a bit on Sunday on the CFP selection show where we've just got to get these up after all we get up those games. You know, we're just doing our best like everyone else. We're kind of going with our most recent power ratings, kind of trying to maybe just, you know, we maybe talk about each game not that long, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, come up with the line and the total, talk about who might play, who might not, some of the coaching situations, and we put up a number, let them fly, and you start taking money in these things and move them really aggressively. So it's an interesting dynamic in the last couple of years, definitely on that Sunday night.
He is Matt Grill. He's a trading manager over at DraftKings, and he was kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line on Christmas Eve. Man, really do appreciate you making the time for us, and have a happy rest of the holidays.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Jeff.
We are underway, Cal and Hawaii. No score there, so we will keep you updated as that thing progresses. Yes, it is daylight over there. If you're wondering, if you're tuning in, you're going like, what the hell is going on? Yes, it is. It is daylight over there. It's kind of weird to see right now, but we'll let you know how that one plays out. But when we come back, like we said, it seems like every game in the NFL this week is a teaser possibility. We'll run through each and every one of them and see if there's anything we're interested in. If there's any ones that we.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
To tease or not to tease? Every bettor faces the question. Shift the spread for safety or take the risk head on? Matt and Mike decide in To Tease or Not to Tease.
Nice little intro there. It is Jeff Schwartz in for Mike Somich as we get ready for the tease or not to tease segment here. And guys, again, if you are new to sports betting, there is a thing called a teaser. You can go in, you can manipulate the line up or down, depending on which way you want to go with it. You at least have to have two legs, and both legs have to win in order to win the ticket, kind of like a parlay. You can also, I mean, you can do 3, 4, 5, don't recommend it, but as many as you want to, you can take 6, you can do 6.5, you can do 7. Actually, at this point, with the way the books go, you can just manipulate the thing any way you want to. So go in, play around with it, and see if it makes any of these bets a little bit more palatable for you. And it starts first thing in the morning, Jeff. Cowboys and the Commanders.
For you,
yes. Yeah, the Cowboys are 8.5-point favorites at the Commanders. We can get this thing down under a field goal going through the key numbers of 7 and 3.
Yeah, first of all, you did explain a teaser, which was great, but I have to imagine if it's Christmas Eve and you're listening to VSiN, you probably know what a teaser is. I can't imagine many people tuning in tonight. They're like, oh, what's a teaser? First time. I mean, the Commanders going to 2.5 is the only play here, right? I mean, I don't think you're bringing the Commanders up at all in this one. That would be the way you'd play this. And, you know, field goal win for the Cowboys feels about right. I just will say, though, so one of these home teams is going to put up a fight, right? Mm-hmm. One of them is. Is it Josh Johnson and the Commanders? They look kind of dead. Probably not them. I do have someone in mind for this. But I would think the Cowboys could win this game by a field goal.
It is. Seems pretty. I mean, you know, I don't want to like, I don't want to sit here and try to downplay. I mean, NFL teams play hard. These players go out there, they play hard, they're playing for contracts, they get playing for pride, all of that. But man, you know, it's kind of one of those deals just where you bring your quarterback back too soon, he re-injures himself, then your veteran presence there in Zach Ertz goes out 2 weeks ago, his career's likely over with his injury. It seems like the air has been let out of the balloon there for the Commanders. And the Cowboys, I understand they have nothing to play for either, but they said Dak's going to play. I got to believe them. They say that they're going to give it a full effort. I got to believe them. And if that's the case, I think they're a field goal better than the Commanders.
Well, I think Dallas is going to play. I think they're going to play hard. I mean, Jerry Jones mentioned he's disappointed with the season. But we've already seen the Commanders try to play, and they have no quarterbacks, right? Like, we can talk about this idea of tanking and how you tank, let's talk first and foremost, is by having bad football players during play during games, right? And Washington's not trying to tank. They have guys hurt. Yeah. But then on top of that, then you sort of start resting guys a little bit in these games, and their season's over. Like, they had aspirations to go back to the playoffs, to be where they were last season. They haven't played terribly well in the last couple of weeks. I get it if you're fighting hard and playing well, but they're not. And the Cowboys, again, you're right. They're out of it, quote, unquote, out of it. But I still think that they have the ability to play hard and win this game.
Yeah, and you know, and again, I'm not saying that Washington is eyeballing the draft board or something like that. But, I mean, you know, they could have a top six pick, you know, if they lose these next couple of games or whatever. And, you know, I think that that's got to be at least somewhat appealing, right? Like you said, a team that came in after what they did last season certainly thought that they could replicate that with what they were doing and not going to get that. But, hey, top 10 pick is certainly appealing out there as well. Okay, the Lions, another one here tomorrow. The Lions are 7.5-point favorites. We can take them down through the 7, through the 3. We can get them all the way down to 1.5 at the Vikings against Max Brosmer.
This is the game, I think, that ruins the parlays. I think it's the Vikings.
Woo! Max Brosmer. Tell me about Max Brosmer here.
It's not really about Max Brosmer. It's more about the Lions aren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is the game. Because, like, look, the Lions have lost 2 in a row. Their defense can't stop anyone, right? They allowed 27 to the Giants, right? I'm looking right now. They allowed 31 to the Packers, 30 to the Cowboys, 41 to the Rams and 29 to Pittsburgh. It's not a good defense. And you give me the Vikings' weapons. You give me the ability to run the football a little bit. I just think this is the one. I'm not high on Brosmer. He played terribly a couple weeks ago, but I just think that this is the game. If we're going to have a loss, it's going to be this one. The Lions are still fighting for something, barely, right? They're barely still in it. And I just think I always say this, right? Like, if you have a must-win game, you must not be very good, right? And the Lions are struggling right now. I think they're not playing their best football. Yes, Minnesota's eliminated. They have the E next to them. They're out. But I think we're still seeing fight from them. We're still seeing them play hard. We're still seeing all those things that matter to them. It's a culture thing for them. So I think this is the game. So, I mean, I guess I would take the Vikings down if it should be up. Teasing up to what, 13.5, I guess. I mean, I would skip this one if I were putting a teaser together.
The Lions, as you said, they have to win out and the Packers have to lose out. So, again, it is currently a 16% chance of them making the playoffs. So, not dead, but basically dead. The Texans are 1.5 dogs at the Chargers, so you could take them up to 7.5, getting on the other side of a touchdown here with that ferocious defense. I like this one a lot. I think this Texans defense is going to bring hell to that really terrible offensive line for the Chargers, and I don't think the Chargers, while they might win the game, I don't think that they're going to be able to win at margin against this defense.
Well, I like the under in this game. So if I like the under, I'll take the 7.5 points, right?
Yep.
Because those correlate together. I do think this is going to be a really tough game for the Chargers offensive line, who has admirably been fighting, but they don't have dudes. And this is a defensive line in the Texans with Will Anderson and with Danielle Hunter that have 10-plus sacks, each of them do. And it's going to be a grinded out game. I think 7.5 would absolutely be the play here with the Texans. This game is interesting because the Chargers still control their own fate. If they win out, they're the AFC West champions. And they have that opportunity, but they got to beat the Texans first. And, of course, Houston has their ability to get their division as well. The Cal just scored
a
touchdown here for Jacob
41-yard. So, 41-yard reception there at the 7-minute mark. So, Cal, extra point pending.
I think they're going to win this game by a lot of points, man.
Extra point pending, 6-0 right now. We'll let you know if they get to. I think the flag's going to be for celebration. I don't think that it's going to be called.
Well, Jared took his helmet off, so that's dumb. Unless his helmet got hit. You can't take your helmet off. Come on, this is like basic stuff, man. We're taking our helmet off.
Yeah. Oh yes, just. I don't get it. Okay, Cincinnati is a 7.5-point favorite at home against the Cardinals. You could bring them down to a point and a half if you wanted to do that. Again, this Cardinals team loses another three starters last week on defense. I mean, like, this is the most injured team I've ever seen. And I know it's, I'm probably being prisoner of the moment because it's just so recent, but it just seems like every single week they lose another starter. Knows they lose two more last week in this one. So do you think that Cincinnati can win this thing by 2 points?
I don't want to watch this game. I don't want to, I want to put games in teasers that I want to watch.
Right.
The Bengals probably win this game by two, but the Bengals probably shouldn't have been a playoff team. The defense again is not good. I'd rather just stay away from this game. I mean, would it surprise you if the Cardinals went there and won? I think no one would be surprised by that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's that defense that Cincinnati has, anything is possible for sure. A super important one in Seahawks at the Panthers here for both of these teams. They're going to go in, the Seahawks, that is, a 7.5-point road favorite. So you could take a road favorite down to a point and a half. Not something I typically like to do, but I do love this Seahawks team. What say you?
It's an interesting game. The Panthers for the last 9 weeks have win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Like they've played, they've been up and down. And they just beat the Bucs. This game does not technically matter for them, right? They got to win at Tampa Bay in week 18. However, if they win this game and Tampa loses, then they win the division this weekend. So like there's incentive for the Panthers to play hard. Seattle has mostly played very well against these type of teams. Like they've dominated a lot of games against not bad opponents, but when they're a big favorite like this. So I would lean, if anything, to taking Seattle down to 1.5 here, not moving the Panthers up at all.
We got three or four more that we'll talk about on the other side of the break here. But I want to get in a message here about our friends over at Sharp Plays. For the Lions Move, the Sharp Plays, they are already there. It is a site that's been around since 2011, backed it up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. They're doing all the sports out there, and you can get the stuff sent straight to your inbox or to your X feed. So go in. It is sharpplays.com. Stay ahead of the line. Visit sharpplays.com. Jeff Schwartz liked Cal in this game. Cal strikes first, and so we are 7-0 Cal at the 7:01 mark here of the first quarter. Of course, we'll keep you updated on everything going on there in that one. Got a few more games to talk about from a teaser standpoint. We start to get in to our breakdown of these NFL games on Christmas. Don't go anywhere. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in. Again, it is 7-0 over there in Hawaii in favor of Cal. We will keep you updated there on that one. Jeff, you already hit one of your touchdown scores. Everything going well for you so far?
I think they just stopped Hawaii on fourth down. I guess they didn't. That looked like they did. Some of these bowl games have been lacking on the reviews. Like, they very clearly have less cameras, and they just don't show reviews. It is what it is. But, I mean, it looked like he was short, but they gave it to him. So, 7-0 still for Cal here, and Hawaii driving down. This will be a back-and-forth game. It's trending probably to the over-ish for now, but good start to the game for me on my Cal. That's my biggest position was Cal. I took the running back over 80 yards, too. He's got two carries, I think, for 19 yards so far.
Yeah, and, what was a point and a half in favor of Hawaii is now 3.5 in favor of Cal on the live line. So we will also keep you updated there on that one as well. Before we took off here, we were talking about different teaser legs, and there was just, like I said, there's so many different teaser leg options this week. We didn't even get to all of them. The Titans are 2.5-point dogs hosting the Saints. So you could take the Titans, who, by the way, have shown a little bit of fight here, up to 8.5 at home against the Saints. But I guess the same could be said about the Saints as well. Two teams that kind of left for dead, but got rookie quarterbacks and certainly trying to play hard and trying to figure out the NFL a little bit.
Hawaii's quarterback just got smoked, by the way. an update. This is the NFL. He would not play anymore. I don't know if college has a robust concussion protocol, but it looked like he might actually go back in the game, which is kind of crazy. But nonetheless, I would not touch this game for the teaser. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not putting the Saints at you're not moving the Saints at all, right? And I think the Tennessee could easily lose by a touchdown. More than a touchdown. Could these lose by 10 points, I should say. I would stay away from this game. I this game has seen none of my money.
Yeah, we'll talk about this one a little bit later, just from what you think you've seen from these guys a little bit later. But yeah, from a teaser perspective, I don't like to tease bad teams. I know they've been playing hard, but bad teams are bad teams. And so when you do that, you're always leaving yourself wide open for them to throw in a clunker. And I don't like to do that. Speaking of bad teams, the Raiders are 1.5 dogs against the Giants. So you could, and if you wanted to, if you want to really get crazy, you could take the Raiders up to 7.5 against the Giants. No chance. They put Brock Bowers on IR today, by the way. Yeah. So they're down another dude.
Both teams are trying to lose. Mm-hmm. Both teams are trying to lose. No chance. Not a single cent will be spent in this game. Not a single. I have Giants win total under that's already hit. We're good to go there. I have Giants worst record. I think 6-1. So I actually would need them to lose.
Yes.
Would be nice. I think it's 6-1. So that'd be nice. But otherwise, yeah, no chance.
So Jeff, like
this game's in New York too.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. And like you said, I mean, the players don't tank. And so we'll leave. No, it's in Vegas here. So it is
Vegas. Okay.
So the players don't tank, but like you said, I mean, if there was ever a game in which, so I think the Raiders kind of like have soft done this. They move Brock Bowers to IR, saying like, yeah, that knee's still bothering him, so he's going to be done for the regular rest of the season. Like, because this is for the number one draft pick. Like this game is for the number one draft. They are both 2-13 right now. This is it. This game is for the number one draft pick, and like both of these teams could really use the number one draft pick. I mean, the Giants, of course, would trade it away. But maybe Vegas wants to get, you know, their next quarterback. Maybe this is like an actual Mendoza loss for them here in this one. So, you know, that's why I don't think I could ever try to back the Raiders here, because the motivational factor for them is actually negative. I mean, you want to lose this as a franchise. I know the players are going to play hard, but, man, you want to lose this pretty big time.
Right. And here's the thing, too. Like, the Giants coaching staff that's there now is not going to be there next season. They don't care whether they have the first pick or not.
Right, exactly. Right.
The Raiders staff is going to be there. Mm. I imagine Pete Carroll keeps his job. So they're going to want to lose this game. Mm. The Giants, again, and look, I'll make this very clear for the 100th time. The players, I've been on a 2-14 team, okay? Mm. We don't tank. We play hard. You tank by punting the ball, kicking field goals.
Right, yes.
And putting Brock Bowers on injured reserve. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. So in the game, Pete Carroll might decide to punt when he shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And maybe he goes for it in week 9. Like, those situations are where you might see it the most. But by the way, they're not turning down a chance to win, though. Like, if they have a chance to win the game, they're not going to just say, no, we're not going to win. But they can do things for 60 minutes that help them not win exactly. Yeah. Right. So
exactly.
My point is basically, like, I just stay away from this one. It makes no sense.
Because it could be a franchise-altering loss for them. And, I mean, it's like, again, if you have the number one pick, then you at least have the choice, right? I mean, like, maybe you hate all the quarterbacks, but then you can just trade the pick for whatever. I mean, you know, it's so much versatility by having that number one overall pick. The Eagles are 1.5 dogs against the Bills, so you could take the Eagles up through the 3 and the 7 all the way to 7.5. I kind of like that one, actually. I mean, I kind of like this because Josh Allen playing injured. Like, I just don't know against this. The one thing, the Eagles offense obviously has been trash at points or whatever. Looks a little bit better the last couple of weeks, but the defense has at least shown up every week.
The Bills also defense stinks. Mm-hmm. Like, the Eagles are going to keep this win a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I would certainly take the Eagles in a teaser here. Because the Bills allowed 20 points to the Browns last week. They've allowed 30 points to the Bucks and 30 points to the Bengals and 30 points to the Patriots in the last five games. Yeah. They can't stop a nosebleed. So whatever ails Philly. Look, you remember Philly played a bad Raiders defense, was it 2 weeks ago, and played fine on offense. They have no problem against bad teams. The problem is they have issues against the better defenses. So I would absolutely be fine playing the Eagles here up to 7.5. This game is a game that will be, a touchdown-ish game, field goal game, something like that. So I'd be on this.
You already said earlier you don't like anything Falcons, so I'm going to imagine you would take the Rams down to 2 if you had the opportunity here against the Falcons. With the Rams still a lot to play for, because, I mean, this can all shake out crazy over there in the NFC.
Yeah, it's a continued must-win for the Rams, right? Mm-hmm. So you're off that loss the other night. That was a pretty tough loss. You have a little bit of rest here. Falcons are dead. Like they have nothing to play mm-hmm. for. So I don't feel great about a road team like mm-hmm. this taking them down to 2, but I mean, I think winning it by a field goal feels very likely to happen here.
Let's get into tomorrow's early game here. Dallas on the road at Washington. I will say, since we've been on air out here behind me, this has gone to 9. So there has been some Dallas love here at Circa. Wow. So Dallas is a 9-point favorite at Circa here. 50.5 is the prevailing total there in this one, Jeff. And of course, as we said, when we were talking about this a little bit earlier, Dak's going to play, CD's going to play, Pickens is going to play, Ferguson's going to play. So you, Jerry Jones said they're going to play hard. They're going all that disappointing season, et cetera, et cetera. So I mean, smart people are moving. I mean, listen, Circa's not moving lines for fun. I mean, they've gotten some money or a smart bet to come in to move it a little bit since we've been on air. It seems like Dallas would be the only side I'd be willing to take because I have no idea what Josh Johnson has left in the tank.
So the teaser option is the best option here. Can I give you a prop that I liked playing this situation a lot this season? It's paid off pretty well. Is taking the backup running back over rushing, expecting a blowout.
Yeah.
So this game, I would imagine, is going to be a game where the Cowboys are up and they're running the clock out. So like a Malik Davis over 22.5 is up right now. That's what I would lean if you're looking for a prop, just because, again, like you expect them to run the ball out at the end of the game. That would be an angle I would take. It's an angle that works a lot for the Rams with Blake Corum getting a bunch of carries, Robinson at times for the Niners. These guys tend to be more sometimes 50-50-ish. Like Algier is a good one to take if the Falcons obviously aren't as good, but there are certain spots this year to take backup running backs, knowing that a team might be ahead in a game. So it's an angle that I played a good amount this season. So I'd be okay with that in this one, in this situation.
So kind of the same bet, but a little bit different for me. I played over Treylon Burks receiving yards at 22.5, which I think Dallas gets to a big lead. I think that the Commanders are having to throw it every single down in the third and fourth quarter, basically. And as beat up as they've been, nothing to play for, nothing whatever. I think it's organizational malpractice if they have Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin out there catching these passes. I mean, like after losing Jaden Daniels, after losing Zach Ertz, all the stuff that's going on with him, they go sign Burks anyway. We're asking for 23 yards in garbage time out of a dude that's actually been getting some run in normal situations as it is anyway. So I kind of played the angle that it, again, same deal. There's going to be a blowout in favor of Dallas, which means that the Commanders are throwing every single down. And hopefully it's not to the starters because they're standing on the sidelines.
Yeah, Josh Johnson, MVP of my East-West Shrine Game.
Oh, about that? There, fun fact right there. When we come back, let's talk a little Lions. And we'll talk a little bit of Survivor because that is so incredibly important as we head into tomorrow morning. 10 entries left for the $18 million.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is Primetime here on VSiN, and we are coming back to a happy Jeff Schwartz as his bet on the Cal Golden Bears is now up to a 14-0 lead. Remember, they were a dog heading into this one. We're now into the second quarter. They have shut out Hawaii, and they've put 2 touchdowns on the board themselves. Yeah.
So also took the running back over 80 yards. He's got 4 carries for 46 yards, so that feels like a good spot. We move forward. This game is actually making me rethink a position that I have. So The Mountain West looks terrible. They're about to go 0-4 unless some weird thing happens, but 0-4 in bowl games. I have San Diego State against North Texas. I took them at +6 when the number first came out. The motivation for San Diego State is much higher. They had a good season. North Texas loses everyone, right? Their quarterback's out. Their coach left, like their OC left. But it was announced that San Diego State's quarterback is out for this game. And the number went from +6 to 3, back to 5.5. I might just get out of it. I just think that with San Diego State having the quarterback out and the rest of this Mountain West, I mean, again, 38-10, they lost to, Boise lost to Washington. And that was, I think, Washington's favored by 10-ish in that game. Washington State beat up on Utah State. And then last night, Ohio beat UNLV 17-10. It's 14-0, right? This game hasn't even been like remotely close. So I'm rethinking my position on San Diego State here for a little bit. I could probably get out of that wager for no cost.
Yeah, it certainly so far. I mean, again, we're doing a show, so I can't really watch every single play, but every time I look over, it looks like Cal is just the better team. It looks like they are just winning almost every play.
They are, Jake, dude, their quarterback, I'm telling you, man. He's not going to win the Heisman next year. It's too early, and Cal's not good enough. But this kid is, if he were, again, I'll make the point again, if he were to be in the open market, he would be the number one choice for every college. Like, because he's young, so you get him for 2 more years, and dude is an absolute stud. And we're seeing that play out so far right now, and Hawaii just has no answers.
Guys, we just upped the offer for you with our friends over at Omaha Steaks. So the official sponsor of tailgating, and you can get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide when you shop at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. So head in, omahasteaks.com/VSIN, and you get those steaks, you get the appetizers, you get all the different stuff that's over there on the menu, but 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. Please see the site for details. Free chicken wings with 129 or more. That sounds good to me right now. I'm kind of hungry, Jeff. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of hungry.
Do they send us food to try? I'd be willing to try some food on air. I'll give you a product review.
Yeah, a little taste test stuff. I'm going to have to go on break and get me something. I've seen the chicken wings, man. Now I'm dying.
Go meet Jared afterwards in Chinatown. You sell some a Jewish Christmas meal.
There it is.
Yeah, I mean, we eat Chinese food on Christmas. Like that's a Jewish tradition.
We listen, we're going to be paying attention because we love football. We're going to be betting these games and all that, but we are not going to be paying attention as much as 10 souls that are out there right now, because there are just 10 entries remaining from over 18,700 in the biggest legal sports betting contest in the world, Circa Survivor. And we are sitting here with a very interesting scenario, because you plot and you plan. And one of the wrinkles to the contest here is that Thanksgiving is its own week. And Christmas is its own week. You do have to plan out in advance. What team am I saving, or what teams am I saving for those holiday weeks to make sure that I can try to advance all the way and win this thing outright? Well, Jeff, over the course of the season, obviously the complexion of basically every single one of these teams that is playing on Thanksgiving has changed drastically. Dallas, dead in the water, no longer in the playoffs. Washington, no quarterback. They're dead in the water, no playoffs. Detroit, basically dead, as we mentioned, 16% chance of them getting into the playoffs. Minnesota, no chance on their third string quarterback here in this deal. Then you get Denver, who's already in, playing against the Kansas City team that is dead. So you saved these teams, and you absolutely had no idea what you were getting in for. And so what we have right now is 5 of the 10 have the Cowboys. And the other 5 are going to have to play a dog tomorrow. And so they are going to have to put in a pick and pray. And, you know, it's just a bad situation to be in. You play all season long, and the injuries just catch up with you over the course of the deal. Now, listen, they got this far. They're obviously super sharp. They got this far. Good for them. They're going to put in hedge bets. I mean, they're definitely going to put in hedge bets. But I just can't imagine making it this far, Jeff. And, like say you saved – Detroit because you were like, you know what? I think JJ McCarthy is trash. Like whatever. And yeah. which by the way, that nobody has Detroit, but I mean, just trying to say like, if you had Detroit and then it's like, oh, well, never mind. They're not even playing for the playoffs, you know? And like you saved Kansas City, which by the way, one entry does have Kansas City, and you would have no idea that you would be a 13.5 point dog here doing this. It's just, it's unbelievable. So, I mean, good on the people that have Dallas, but it's, you know, you said Washington is at least, you know, somewhat interesting. I know you like Minnesota a little bit better.
I think the choice basically here is right. Like, so I would imagine the people that have Dallas are going to play Dallas, right? That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I
think you have to. If you're playing Minnesota or Washington, I would take Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I'd pick Minnesota. I think they're still playing hard. They have a good defense, right? The problem is Washington is not good on defense. Like there's nothing going for Washington right now.
Right.
And they're starting Josh Johnson. So at least you can make the case that Brosmer's played. It wasn't good, but you design an offense around the run game and you have Jefferson, you have Addison, you have these pieces there. And you just, you hope and pray that Minnesota gets you through. I mean, what's the implied value of these right now?
$1.87 million for each entry. So
what are you hedging? So how much are you gonna would you do a fifth of that? Like, I don't know what the proper.
Yeah, I mean, because there's only 3 weeks left in the contest now, right? So
two, right?
Well, this is its own week. Then week 17, and then 18.
Yes.
So there's only 3 weeks left of the contest. And so you can ensure that you make money no matter what, right? I mean, like these guys are not going to leave empty handed. My guess is, and I mean, this is actually no secret here because Jeff and Derek have already talked about it. I know that there have been big, big credit lines already pulled with the casino here for guys to come in and put in some really big hedge bets on this. I guess, Jeff, here's the deal with the game theory part of it. Is if at least you play Washington and you won, then you would know that it eliminated five people as well, right?
Correct.
So it's kind of like you do have that, but then the people that the other five, you can also be like, if you're the Washington, are you going, oh, maybe three will take Washington, and then, you know, maybe I get lucky with Minnesota. And I move. So it's going to be interesting to see if there's people who just want to go heads up with the obvious five plays, or if they're the people who want to try to get on an island with Minnesota. And just like you said, just hope that they're playing a Detroit team that is basically dead. And at least they have a good defense. Maybe they can get a couple of defensive scores. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm too dumb to do the game theory thing. That's why I'm not in this contest. I would be survive in advance mode, right?
Uh-huh.
Like I would pick the best winner that you can find if you have Minnesota or Washington and just get to this weekend. And it feels like being on an island you could certainly win you the whole contest if you do that. But I would try to pick the best winner and then hedge off of that and make yourself a profit in the end. And hopefully you get through. I mean, look, again, it's like, do you want Dan Quinn, Josh Johnson, and the Commanders defense, or do you want, you know, Kevin O'Connell, Brosmer, a good defense, and the weapons Minnesota has against the line? Like that decision you have to make, you know? So I'm very curious whether I feel bad for the guy who has Kansas City and Minnesota. I mean, just Kansas City, you were saving them for the Raiders probably next week, right? Or two weeks from now. Like you could have the Chiefs in week 18 against the Raiders as your final play in Survivor.
The other interesting thing about taking Minnesota was you would at least have the game done before you. So you would have information, right? You would know whether Dallas or Washington won, right? Which then could also help you out from a hedging standpoint, right? So like it's because you're in theory, you know, your ticket, if you have a Minnesota ticket, right? Your ticket will increase in value some way, shape or form. Unless nobody takes Washington, which I can't imagine that being the case. So it's all crazy, right? I mean, it's doing the math in your head and trying to figure all of this stuff out is just absolutely, absolutely wild. We will find out, though. We will be in here tomorrow, and we will know exactly how all the picks shake out and just exactly. We'll try and catch somebody out there and see if they can't tell us just how much hedge money they took as well. When we come back, Greg Peterson is going to join us here.